This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
So what is all this crap that people are tweeting out about how you're not a real fan of the Rockets if you watch Game of Thrones? What the bleep?
I know your boy Lopez was in on it. He says, I am not a Game of Thrones fan, but if you consider yourself a true Rockets fan and you are at all conflicted about picking one versus the other on Sunday night, then you are not a true Rockets fan. Under no circumstance would I pick my favorite TV show over my team.
Come on, man. Watch what you want. Nobody's going to judge you for missing 10 minutes of the Rockets game, and nobody's going to judge you for recording Game of Thrones.
No one would judge you for missing an entire Rockets playoff game. Stop being a weird sports guy. Be well-rounded. Be a normal human who cares about other things, whether it's TV. And if you're not a Game of Thrones fan, that's fine. But acting like you've got to be glued to the TV set for game one of Rockets Jazz or you're not a fan, up yours.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well said, sir.
Thank you.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number three, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. First night of quarter horse racing. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Just send a message, and Aaron will be happy to respond to it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You also know the text line. If you miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you miss. And, little games, Game of Thrones stuff, little basketball stuff. Sportsy, non-sportsy, we mixed it up really well the first 2 hours. Had Lance Zierlein on. He was good. We had Chris Griffin on, who's a track announcer out here. People seem to like that interview, too, which I worry because sometimes I think we get way too inside on stuff, but he's a sharp guy. I like talking horses with him. And right now we have the sharpest guy, the legend, the greatest gambling guru in the history of the known universe, RJ Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. What's going on, RJ?
Oh, just getting ready for the NBA play. Listen, they don't give you a break when it comes to the action, baby.
Hey, RJ, remember when we filled out that bracket, the dream bracket, and I turned in my bracket to you, and it said Virginia was going to win, and you just ignored it?
Well, listen, AJ, picking a number one seed to win the title, if you need to take bow. I mean, I saw you on Twitter, it seemed like, for hours responding to individual people about that. I mean, aren't you above that at this point?
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely, I mean, not. Do you know me at all? I'm the most petty.
I mean, it's so weird. If I responded to every person that tweeted at me, that's all I would do.
Well, you're much more famous than I am, RJ.
That's
a big
true.
Difference.
It's just, I mean, did you see that prediction? Did you see that video I put out? It was all over
not.
The place.
I did not. I've actually muted you. I've muted you on Twitter, so I didn't see it.
Admit that's not true right now.
That's not true.
And I want to hear it clearly. Say it loud.
That's
and proud.
Not true.
All right. Is because we really had it nailed when we were talking about, I'm having a mental block. Which game was FS? It was Auburn. Auburn is the idea that Auburn, with all their problems with the feds and all that, that was something the NCAA wasn't going to be too excited about them being in the finals. And boy, oh boy, you can debate the calls and all that, but it seemed like there was a real bias towards Virginia in that game. AJ, you wouldn't be crone so much otherwise.
I wouldn't be. Absolutely, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't have won my bracket pool either. So we got to take our victories where we can, RJ. You know what was great about that? You looked smart and I looked smart at the same time.
Yeah, you know, me looking smart is pretty much perpetual. So I get that you're celebrating that. So hey, I'm proud of you, man.
How much talk has there been about betting on Game of Thrones, and how popular is betting on television-related stuff?
You know, typically not, but it's one of those things, if you reach a true tipping point where it's a true cultural phenomenon, then it starts to become an it starts to happen. And I think this Game of Thrones might be reaching that. So, especially because there's such a clear question, right? And I can think back during the heyday of Survivor. And there was some serious betting on, you know, who would win, you know, who would win Survivor. And because a lot of people cared. So my sense is because there's a clear kind of end result here, then I think the betting is significant. But it's not going to be, like, all the Games of Thrones betting won't be as much as one NBA or NFL game.
Well, obviously now the NBA playoffs about to get into full swing, and there's some teams that are it's not even worth discussing some of these series prices. I mean, there's going to be huge numbers on teams like Detroit and the Clippers, but there's really not much of a possibility of those teams advancing. But I think there are some numbers that are worth discussing, and one of the things that I think is intriguing is that the Thunder are favored over the Portland Trail Blazers. At least right now they are. The Blazers, the 3 seed, the Thunder, the 6 seed. What's driving the Thunder being the favorite there?
Well, that's actually one of Fezzik's best bets. He likes the Thunder. And his rationale, and I think it's good, is if you look at the series this season, 4-0 OKC with a nice margin of victory. But even more importantly, what happened Wednesday night? Portland had a chance to have a better seed.
Yep.
Last game of the year. They sit their starters? Why would that be? Well, because if they had lost the game, it would have increased the chance they would have avoided OKC. So now, and this is one of our basic premises, if nobody knows more than what's happening inside a building, no one knows more about Portland than the Portland GM, the Portland coach. When they give you a cue, when they tell you a signal, what they're thinking, take it seriously. What did Portland tell us? They don't want to play OKC. And you know who else knows that? OKC.
Yeah.
So it's not only the fact that it's true, but now it's the fact your opponent knows you're scared. I think it's a big deal.
I'm with him on that series. I like OKC a lot. We were talking earlier in the
show.
Yeah,
it's always tough though laying 140 with the team that doesn't have home field. I mean, the question is this built in?
Isn't it? I mean,
well, I think between the Portland injuries and the way the Thunder are playing right now, I think it's all built into the price, which is, I mean, that's why you're getting such value. But it does feel wrong to take a team that's got to play an extra game away from home. Especially Portland is one of the toughest road trips in the NBA. You know, if there's a team that I could see winning a series just based on having home court,
yeah,
it's Portland.
But hold on a second. You're bringing up a great point. Portland is, as you just said, Portland one of the toughest road trips in the NBA. That's another one of Fezzik's great theories, is teams at altitude. So let's change the subject for a minute and we'll swing it back. They usually are overrated in the playoffs. Denver, Utah. Why? Because there's situations during the year where a team comes in on a back-to-back that the opponent is at such a situational disadvantage. Denver picks up 3-4 wins a year because of that. Well, isn't Portland similar, that in a normal NBA season, being so far up there in the corner, how long the trip is, it's a tough one on back-to-backs, 6, 7, 8, 9 game road trip. But in the playoffs, there's always a day off. They're only traveling, you know what, home to home. You know, there's not that much travel.
Yeah.
So I think Portland's another team where it might be half as much effect as the altitude teams, where they don't have that regular season advantage in the postseason.
That might be fair, but what I will say, one of there's two different. To me, there's two different parts of having a home court advantage. One is, you know, where the actual stadium is, where your flight has to land. The other is the atmosphere of the building. And Portland has always been a really good atmosphere. Even when that team's not good, they sell out. I mean, it's always a raucous crowd. I think it's just one of the better home court advantages, not even including the fact that it's a long trip.
Okay, and that's viable. And again, I'm not saying I love. Listen, I think I personally I think every handicapper has weaknesses. I do too. If you knew them, you would plug them, right? So no one's exactly sure. What are you saying, Fez? You're saying Portland zero?
Playoffs,
just say it.
Yeah? Last year, Portland lost both their home games. Listen,
Fez loves to use small sample sizes when it is his argument. His last year, Portland got beat at home in their two playoff series. But, okay, fair enough. But to me, in my opinion, one of Fez's weaknesses is he's always right directionally, but he gets caught up and he loves his own little pet theories because they are as good as anyone's in the world. The guy won the Super Contest twice, only guy ever to do it. But it's almost like, okay, this line should be, let's say, home team two, and the road team's one. It's like, but, you know, there's a big motivational edge. Well, how much is it worth? Is it worth more than 3 points? So, to me, it feels like OKC's directionally correct, meaning Portland shouldn't be a clear favorite, even though they have home field. But at what point, how do we quantify, is minus 140 cheap? Which, the other way, OKC being favored, which implies that what? OKC's supposed to be minus 170? I'm not sure about that.
One of the teams I am interested in as far as a value standpoint, the Pacers have a pretty fat number next to their name against the Celtics. And I the Pacers haven't been good down the stretch, but there's a reason why they're right there in the standings, because they've been pretty solid all year despite the fact that they don't have a great roster. Now the Celtics are banged up a little more. I mean, do you see value on the Pacers at that number?
Fez and I just now on Straight Out of Vegas, national show, check it out. On your podcast player, we had a crossfire on this one. We had a green button bet on this one. I like Pacers. He likes Boston. We have two disagreements in the game. One is if you look at the Pacers post Oladipo, for 3 to 4 weeks, they played surprisingly well. Then they hit a lull, and now Fezzik's kind of got them graded at their current form. I personally think the playoffs are the time a team that's fatigued because they had to compensate for losing such a good player, and they could do it for a while, but then they ran out of gas. I think they get recharged. He's not so sure. So that's disagreement number one. Disagreement number two, I'm even more sure about. His theory is this is wacky, living in some, you know, utopian universe. And I guess when you have a mansion and a yacht like Fezzik, it's kind of utopian. But what happens is he's thinking, yeah, Boston's been fighting all year over the limelight. But now that the limelight's going to get brighter and that the benefits of the limelight are tens of millions of dollars on your contract, they're going to all come together as a team because the goal of an NBA title is so important to these players. I think if you're greedy and the stakes go up, I don't think you get less greedy. And I think these Boston players, they're greedy for the ball, for the stats that ultimately lead to the money. And I think Stevens is a great X's and O's coach. One day when he starts can grow a beard, maybe he's going to be able to have the gravitas to talk to these guys that are like triple his weight or double his height and say, hey, you know, like Popovich would. But this is they look at him, he's a kid. He's like a little stats nerd, and he doesn't seem to be able to manage the egos that we've got going on here. And the idea that ego management is going to improve when the stakes go up, that seems the opposite to me. We made the bet. I took plus 550, no vig, on the Pacers.
RJ, I want to ask you, it's a strategy I'm using on the NHL playoffs, and I'm wondering if it's something that you might do on the NBA as well. There were some teams the other night that I thought situationally were not in a great spot, but series-wise, I still liked them. So I waited to see what happened in Game 1 so I could get a better series price, and that's what I'm getting on the Penguins and the Golden Knights in particular, two teams that I'm betting to win their series. And by waiting one game, I get plus 160 on the Knights when it was basically a pick 'em, and plus 115 on the Penguins when they were favored.
I hate that. I hate that.
You hate that? Tell me why.
Unless there's a reason you think game one's a bad spot, then it's fine. But in general, what you're saying is I think my team has an edge in the market is mispricing it. Why in the heck would you want a rep, one of the seven possible reps to happen, thinking that you're going to be, if you're right, you're going to win that game one more often than the market thinks you will? So in a weird way, unless, now listen, if there's some handicap that says, here's why game one's a problem, and I actually am willing to bet the other, like if you're willing to bet the other team game one, then I think that's a great idea. But otherwise, you're right. Sometimes you are going to get lucky. But really what you're saying is the times that I'm going to make my bets are when I got one data point that tells me maybe I wasn't right. Unless there's a reason that data point isn't going to be uniform with the rest of the series.
Well, in this case, basically, game one at home with the Islanders and Sharks, those teams have an advantage. Watching those games, I think the other two teams are the better teams, and I thought that going in. So
you're talking about a whole different thing, which I agree with you on. If there's an element to the series that you are unsure of, it could be, let's say, A or B. Will they be able to get a pass rush on, I guess football is not a series. Will they be able to defend and be down low, let's say? Okay. Watching the first game and seeing if that's the case or not, and then figuring, hey, if they end up, you still might bet your team even if they win. But once you confirm that one if then, I'm fine with that. If you need more data, you wait. But as soon as you get the data you need, you usually bet as soon as possible because the line tends to move towards the right number.
Yeah, well, my point is that I'm trying to get the line to move in my advantage on series that I still have a strong opinion on those teams. So it's just in two cases here. But there's a couple others that I was going to watch the same way that I'm not going to play now because I don't like those teams after seeing their first game against the other team.
And remember, Fred, let's be very clear, because to some degree it feels like you're trying to keep convincing me, but to another degree I think you're saying something important. If game one tells you something you didn't know before game one, then that's great. Gain the new information, bet accordingly. But if you enter a series like in Team A, and think, if they only lose game one, I'm going to get such a better payoff if they end up winning the series. I'm going to sit back and hope they lose game one, then bet Team A. I don't like that.
That wasn't what I was saying.
Talk like that. Like, the Lakers are going to, not the Lakers anymore, but Golden State's going to win that first game, so let's let them win that first one, and we'll be getting plus 900. It's like, yeah, but if you're right about the series in general, your team's got a heck of a chance to win game one in theory.
Agreed. I must be sounding like I'm saying something that I'm not, because that's not quite, I'm not hoping for the teams to lose. That wasn't the point. The point was I was going
to
wait for
a game. I think to close, I heard you, and I was making that distinction for the audience, is Fred, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fred is saying, if you learn something watching game one that then leads you to bet the series, I think that's a wonderful thing because that was the missing piece you needed to learn. You learned it, then you bet it.
So NFL draft coming up. We'll talk a little bit more when we get closer to it. How much betting is going on with that now? And are they not taking bets in Vegas in some places on the draft? Did I read that right?
Are draft numbers up yet in Vegas? I don't think yet in Vegas. Offshore, they certainly are, but it's getting bigger and bigger. And Vegas has been a little conservative about what we've put up, but more recently they've gotten more aggressive. Now with Jersey and all that, right now Murray is minus 500 to be the number one pick offshore. So some of the online books, offshore books, are in action already. And I'll have those notes to you in the weeks to come as the draft's happening with the updates and all that.
Yeah.
I mentioned to the producer, I've got to cut out a little early today.
All good.
Okay. All right. Well,
I apologize. So, AJ, congratulations.
Thank you,
RJ. Have you responded to everyone on Twitter yet?
They all know. Yeah, I've got a pinned tweet talking about how great I am.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you, RJ.
Tiger one back.
Oh, it's happening, Fred.
It is.
This could be like, I mean, you've been right for years about Tiger never winning another major.
I know.
Would that piss you off?
No.
We just won't talk about that you said that because you haven't talked about it in
a
long
time. Well, no, then you know what it is? I'll just say, well, you know what? Turned out I was wrong. And then that's the end of it. And I've been right for,
yeah,
like,
you were right for a long time.
10 or 11 years. That ought to count for something.
I agree.
All right, guys. You know, you still got time to probably get to Augusta if you want to. And if you want to book a room, you know where to go. BestHotelRates.com. If you just want to get away for the weekend, BestHotelRates.com is the place to go. There's a reason. That's the name. They've negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they've extended these discounts to you. All you have to do is go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and you're looking at a discounted rate from any of the hotels that you could pay a lot more for if you go somewhere else.
Yeah, save money. Have more fun on the trip, guys. Book your hotels through BestHotelRates.com. They've got top-notch customer service. They back up your reservation. Your stay is safe and secure. BestHotelRates.com. Start planning your next trip today. Wherever you're going, go with BestHotelRates.com.
On ESPN 97.5.
When's the last time you checked your credit score?
All right, guys. Sunday, this Sunday, April 14th at the brewery at noon. It's the Carbach Crawfish Fest presented by Arctic Outdoors, benefiting the Robert Garner Firefighters Foundation. Listen to G Love and Special Sauce, Bob Schneider, and a variety of brass bands while peeling some hot Cajun crawfish. You can get VIP tickets. They're still available. 3 pounds of crawfish, 3 beers, access to the VIP deck and pub with air conditioning, plus private bathrooms and an Arctic bag with shirt and koozie. Tickets are available now at carbachbrewing.com. Make sure you get out. And then, guys, they've got these recurring events like the first Monday of every month. If you like to ride your bike, you like to drink beer, how about the Carbach Brews Cruise? Followed by a Carbach happy hour at the brewery the first Monday of every month. And then stop by the restaurant while you're out there. Check it out. The food is dynamic. The menu's dynamic. The food is great. And everything on the wall pairs perfectly with the food. So get yourself a nice beer to pair with whatever you decide to eat that day. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And when you're out and about this weekend, please ask your bartender to make it a Carbach.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Sam Houston Race Park. Has your child ever dreamed of playing football with Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson? Kids in grades 1 through 8 can attend the Academy Sports and Outdoors Deshaun Watson Football Pro Camp in partnership with First Community Credit Union, powered by Reliant, on May 11th at Episcopal High School. Head to ESPN975.com to register to win a spot for one lucky kid to join Deshaun and his Houston area coaches for small group instruction on football fundamentals and fun. Apparently there's – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to see if you – did you see what's going on in the Cutler household these days?
I did see that, yes.
Do you want to talk about it?
Sure.
Have you ever
nursed?
Have you ever siphoned a milk duct?
I have not. Have you?
I choose not to discuss this.
Oh, you have. You have. You're Jay Cutler.
Not intentionally, though.
Okay, well, that's different.
That's a big difference,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that if you were surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
Way different.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but it's not like you were out trying to nurse.
No, and apparently she was dealing with major clogged ducts. And I don't want to go into great detail about how you would unclog a human milk duct. But apparently Jay Cutler manipulated the duct with his mouth violently and was able to
unduct it,
remove the blockage.
Ah. Okay.
I don't know why you bring that up. Apparently it came up at a dinner. I feel like that's private information. And I'm sure Jay didn't want that out there.
Oh, I don't think he gives a flying.
Yeah, Jay's not much of a caregiver.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He's probably happy it's out there. People are talking about him. Oh, well, milk, it does a body good.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Sexy.
I do know of one prominent guy here in the city who was at a strip bar in New Orleans where the stripper was...
Mayor Turner.
No, it wasn't Mayor Turner.
Cal McNair.
No, not Cal McNair.
Mm. Who else could... Charlie Polillo.
No, not Charlie Polillo.
But who could it be?
Well, I'll tell you off air.
More or less famous than Charlie Polillo?
More famous.
Oh. James Harden.
Not as famous as James Harden. But I'm sure he's done that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably.
Hey, whatever you're into, man. If you're into... You know, if you're into milk, that's your thing. If you're, whatever happens in the privacy of your home, that's your thing. Now, probably should keep it private, but they're different cats, man. They really are.
Yeah.
So, am I surprised? No. Isn't there like a breast pump that does that?
That's what I thought.
I mean, I don't know a lot about breastfeeding. You know, other than occasionally I see people do it in public. And we've discussed that.
And you take pictures of it.
No, I don't do
start
that.
Websites about it.
I do not. That's not true. We do not have breast map.
Oh.
Not yet. Not yet.
Milkmap.com.
We've got a lot of maps, but we don't have that one yet.
You're mapped to all the hottest milking in Houston. Something like that.
Yeah, you say that. Now I got to go buy that.
Buy the domain. Yeah, yeah,
just to be safe.
Lock it up just in case. We want someone jumping the gun on us.
Yeah, yeah. And then, oh, you want milk map? It's going to cost you, buddy.
How many races do they do on an average night in the quarter horse meet?
Tonight,
is it the same?
It's about the same. Yeah, there's 9 tonight. Tomorrow there's 15 because there's trial races.
Okay.
There's trials tonight, but there's not as many horses. Tomorrow's the big day in terms of number of races. I think there's 8 on Monday, so it'll be 8 or 9 races most nights. And they'll do a few more here and there. But apparently, I was told by a couple of our friends here that there's protesters out front.
What? Were they are they protesting us?
Not us, which I'm a little disappointed because I'd like for us to be famous enough for people to protest against us. But apparently they're protesting, I'm guessing it's PETA. So, yeah, I'm going to make sure I walk out when I leave. And
I'm going to walk out and pretend like I'm disgusted with what's going on in here.
Not me. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to go find as many tickets as I can outside and just walk out with a whole bunch of tickets going, yeah.
I'm going to say,
yes.
I just ate a vegetarian pizza, and I saw that there were animals being treated way better than they would be otherwise, and I was like, I'm out of here.
I'm going to be like, steak, 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 steak. that cow sure would look good on my plate. But, yeah, I don't know what the deal is. But we've talked about the thing at Santa Anita has really gotten out of control. And nobody hates that more than the people who train these horses. I mean, that's not
yeah. –
I mean, they spend a lot of time with them, and they care. I mean, a lot of these horses get – treated better than human beings in some cases.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not ideal when something like that happens, but it's got nothing to do with what's going on out here.
No.
And, I mean, listen, I've seen, you know, I've talked about this before. I've seen things that make me uncomfortable, but it's rare. And, you know, things are going to happen. I mean, things happen to athletes, human athletes who run, and it's like, oh, well, they don't have a choice. Well, I've seen horses running in a field snap a leg.
It can happen.
It's just part of the deal. So, sorry, protesters. You're barking up the wrong tree here. Shep Ali wants to know, who do you think is most likely to die in the season premiere? She votes for Theon. Where can I find the odds? I am going to tweet out where
they're
you
on
can
the
find
internet.
The odds. But
I said that for the odds, I like Sansa or Jaime in episode one. I think there's a big death. I don't even know if a Greyjoy death would count enough as like a big death.
See, I would say Euron might die.
That barely registers with me.
Yeah, although I mean,
is that a big death?
Well, they've built him up into a big deal. I you know, to me, the Greyjoys are kind of like the 6'10" of you know, they're almost useless. I don't know. They've got. I'm looking at my bookie has.
I feel like 6'10" is like the Lannisters. Like they still think they're running stuff, but all the power's been stripped away.
So 790 is a Greyjoys.
They're playing checkers while everybody else is playing chess. That's how I see it. But
just hasn't been the same since Tywin died.
Exactly.
So they have.
And by Tywin, we obviously mean Nick Wright.
They have matchup odds on my bookie. Arya,
like head to head, who
dies first? Arya versus Sansa.
Sansa, what's the number?
+135.
On Sansa? I'll take that.
Yeah, man. I might punch a ticket on that because I think Arya's going to make it to the end. Euron versus Theon. Euron -230.
Yeah, I think Euron's the answer there.
Yeah.
I think you're on to something with that one.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Varys versus Bronn is one.
I feel like Varys is my choice.
He's -160.
Okay.
The Mountain is -600 against the Hound, +350.
I think the safe money's on. The Mountain is Golden State in this situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a lock.
Melisandre -330 against Davos +215.
Ooh. That's tougher, but I still like the favorite. I'm looking for dog value. Give me a dog value.
Jaime versus Tyrion.
What, Jaime the dog?
No, he's a favorite.
Oh, damn it. Pass.
Ooh, how about Bran versus Jon Snow?
Ooh, now we're talking.
Bran +135.
No, he's asking for dog value. Give him the Hound versus whoever.
No, but that's not if you think the Mountain's going to win.
Such a dad joke. God, go to break. This is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, before
go back to watching golf, Dad.
Man, see that's what happens when Tiger's playing well. He gets all excited, and that's what we get. All right, you know what? Here's what you should do, just to make up for that, is you should stop by Big City Wings. Did you know what they have tonight? Half-price appetizers and margarita madness. Because Big City Wings has specials every night. Saturday, $4 shots on Shot Time Saturday. How about that? Sunday, 25 boneless wings for only $14.99 and Bloody Marys. So they got you covered all weekend, during the week, you name it. The wings are fantastic. Everything's made from scratch there. They've got 8 locations now, including the new one out on Rayford Road, which we're going to be at here at some point. And if you go to the one in Kingwood, you can sit at AJ's table or my table or Charlie Palillo's table right there in the bar. It's perfect. They got TV, so if you want to watch all the sports, like you want to go watch some afternoon baseball tomorrow and playoffs and Tiger, they're going to have it all. They've got TVs everywhere, so it's just such a great experience. And it's my favorite wing place. It has been for a long time, long before they started, before I started speaking for them. The delicious, fresh made to order menu items. If you don't want wings, man, their burgers are great. The appetizers are great. They got you covered with everything. Go and check them out. You can find your nearest location at bigcitywings.com. They're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as Big City Wings. Follow them, keep up with what's going on. Check them out, bigcitywings.com.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow.
Live from Sam Houston Race Park, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, one final segment in the week as we broadcast live from Sam Houston Race Park. First post at 7:15 tonight. So still plenty of time to get out here and play if you want to. I will be watching from home and playing along from home as well. If you haven't had a chance to pick up the greatest gambling novel ever written, a lot of it based right here at Sam Houston Race Park, go to JesusTheNovel.com. You will love it. And if you don't, then
suck
it. Well, you're not really a fan. So that one
didn't work.
Oh, well. So, we got the last race at Santa Anita about to go off here, and a little action on that. All right, let's wrap up the show the way we always wrap up the show on Fridays. A little stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
When was the last time we had a crap show?
Aaron?
I don't recall having one since I've been here, at least.
Oh, we've had at least one since you've been here.
Yeah, yeah. You may not notice.
Yeah, you're not. Your head's in the sand.
That's true. Because
most of the times that we've had bad shows since you've been here, it's been your fault.
Right, and see, if you admit that it's
awkward.
A bad show. Yeah, if you admit that it's a bad show, then you have to admit that it's your fault, because it's not on us ever.
There is a horse running Saturday night in the second race called Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, okay.
So
sounds like a winner.
Yeah, I think he'll pack a punch.
No, I mean, when AJ goes on vacation, I won't be the funny one.
I mean, if you're saying you're not as funny as I am, well, duh. No one. I mean,
and when I'm gone, you're not going to be the smart one either.
Yeah.
Hate to break it to you.
I bring hair to the team.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Well, I hope you die.
Did you see some of these hurricane names?
I saw. Isn't Barry a possibility
there
this year?
There is a Barry. We know that one will be a big blowhard and then disappoint in the end. Or it'll ruin a lot of lawns.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. That's what Barry would do.
Albert says, for a betting degenerate here, what golfer has better odds to win the Masters? I see one of Tiger to make the top five looking tempting.
I honestly know zero about golf betting.
Yeah, I know.
We don't know. Everybody's asked this week. I would just get online. There's a bunch of people who've written some betting previews for the Masters. But if I sit here and pretend like I know what I'm talking about there, then I'm a 6'10 host.
Well, when I met Fred, I bet on hockey.
I still bet on hockey.
Yeah, but you watch hockey. I didn't watch hockey, and I was betting on it.
John made a dumb decision. Can we just say it? We criticize Bill O'Brien every week for his garbage. We can't criticize Jon Snow? Really? That's where we're going?
What is the name of that television program?
It's not about me. I'm just going to say that. It's called The Gay Falcon. It's not about me.
The Gay Falcon.
See, and
the Fred Fowler story.
No.
When you click info, it says the Fred Fowler story.
No, it does not. It does not.
If I have to be a gay falcon to make your day better.
I mean, it made my day better, I'll be honest.
Well, I don't care about yours, but the listeners. I noticed it smelled a hell of a lot better in here when we came in for a change.
Don't talk about how the girl that was in studio smells. That's inappropriate.
Well, the whole place smells better.
No, I'm just saying.
Ridiculously inappropriate.
Usually it smells like ass in here.
I think he's more alluding to the fact that Barry and Joel just weren't ripping for 3 hours straight.
Oh, I mean, I guess that could possibly
be. They actually had to hold it in for 30 minutes.
Kind of what I was going with, but whatever.
I suck today, all right? Write it down. This was my day to be a bad host.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
I don't really think you were that bad, just for the record.
Thanks, man. That means a lot.
Did he get there? I think he got there. Michael brought us a little win ticket, and I think he just won at Santa Anita.
That's a winner?
Oh, a photo.
Oh, no. Okay. Ooh, 11 to 1. Man.
Yeah, see, because if
you know how to make friends.
Yeah, because if we hit this, we're going to keep this ticket and roll it over into something when we come back and then put him in on it so we can return the favor. All right, fun week.
Or we could buy, like, you know, 100 and something 50-cent beers.
We could do that. But and then go and confront the PETA people.
That's true.
That could be fun. All right. Hey, great job this week, AJ. Great job this week. Aaron, Tyler, you did really well for your one appearance. So other than, you know, being enamored with golf. You know what?
I have a friend that I watch fights with all the time. And we were like, so are we watching the UFC fights this weekend? He said, yeah. And I was like, what's that mean? And he's like, there's also a Formula One race going on at the same time as the fights. I was like, what?
You're not a real fight fan.
Are you a Euro? Where did that come from? Why, how did I not know that you liked car racing? And he's like, only Formula One. It's all the same to me. That's weird. I feel like I've been lied to our whole relationship.
Well, enjoy your Formula One race this weekend. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back Monday. I bet we'll have a few things to talk about on Monday. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.